to heaven shall come in a like manner as he shall see him going to heaven. So he's coming back. The same way he went up, he's coming back. Be ready, saints of God. God love you, and I do too. Thanks. Be ready when Jesus come back. I seal this with a saying to y'all. I love you, and Jesus does too. Amen.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
He had 12 disciples. He had 12 apostles. And each one of them could have had their own basket. And so what I'm saying is that if you take a little bit of what God gave you, then God in turn will bless you with more than you need. I wish I had somebody. And all I'm trying to get you to understand here is that you quit belittling yourself and quit thinking of what you have is so little and realize if I put it in the master's hand, then he can use it. And if you put it in his hand, he'll turn around and begin to bless you. Amen. We don't have to keep praying to God, God, would you please bless me? It's just in God to want to bless you. The Bible says that it pleases God to give you the kingdom and that God wants to bless you. I wish I had somebody that understood that, because God wants to bless you. All he wants you to do is line up with his word. And when you obey him, he blesses you. God will not let you come in contact with him and not change something in your life. We got to get to the point to where we're not saying that I'm trying to change myself, but I'm letting God change this thing. And the people that got to go out of my life, they just got to go. And the people that God bring into my life, I'm trying to give them all I can give so that God will bless me to keep on giving. That's why he said, give and it shall be what? Given. That little boy, look, I don't believe that God intended for the 12 disciples to have those baskets, but I believe that he intended for that boy to have those baskets. And that boy, he said, look, just because you were able to give me your sacrifice, because you were able to give me your lunch, and you didn't think about your own self, he said, I'm giving you 12 baskets. Oh, come on and say amen. Now, I believe that he had 12 baskets so that little boy could give whoever he wanted it to. Oh, come on and say amen. And so when he had the 12 baskets that remained, verse 14 said, then those men, the same men that received the miracle, because they had been receiving miracles and seeing all the things that God had done through Jesus, they had seen all of this, but yet they still didn't believe that he was the one. They believed that he was a great man of God, but they didn't know that he was the one. They believed that he was somebody to be following, but they didn't know that he was the one. Look at this. And those men, that he said, those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, it only took one miracle to change their mind. It took one miracle to make them believe that he's just not a man that's a good man, but he is that prophet. I wish I had somebody. He said, when they seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. They begin to say he is who they say that he is. Oh, come on and say amen. When people start to see God move in your life and you become transparent with how God has blessed your life, people will begin to say that is that God. The God that they serve is the God that we need to serve. He says this is that prophet. Oh, come on and say amen. It is of a truth that prophet. Now, who was they talking about? They were talking about in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses told the people, he said that God is going to raise up a prophet out of one of your brothers. Amen. He's going to raise up a prophet, and that's the one that you need to hear. And so what they were saying now is that we need to hear everything that he has to say, because he is the one that Moses said was coming. How many know that we need to believe that he is the one? Why I said that is because there's so many people saying there's so many others that we ought to believe, that we ought to follow after, because there's a movement going on right now, this new age movement, that's saying that we need to follow after whatever path that we want to follow, but all these paths will lead to God. But I Say the devil is a lie. There's only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the door. Come on. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody here realizes that there is no other way to get to God? There's no other way to have a relationship with the Father except you have it with Jesus. I wish I had somebody here that realizes that he is the one that came into the world. You see, the Pharisees didn't believe it. They were kind of skeptical. You know how people do nowadays. One day they love you, and the next day they saying, crucify him. One minute they saying, oh, Hosanna, blessed be the one that come in the name of the Lord. And then a few minutes later, they said, oh, I thought he was saved. Come on, do I have a witness here? You know how they are. They'll test you and try to get you to go over the edge so they can turn around and say, I knew they wasn't all they said they was. Oh, come on, preach with me. Have you ever had that situation where people try to test you and they say, I knew Chris, Reverend Chris wasn't all that he said he was. But guess what? God is working on me. I'm still a work in progress. He's testing my love. He's testing my faith. But he already knows what he's going to do. And guess what? He already knows what I'm going to do. Do you know that God knew that the little boy would be there? Did you know that God knew that the two fish would get on the hook? Did you know that God knew that his grandmother would pack him 5 barley loaves just in case he got hungry? Do you know that God already knew these things? And if God already knows it, why are we yet worried? How am I going to make it? God has an appointed time that he manifests things in your life. Do I have any witnesses here? What I'm trying to tell you is that if it's in God's hand, then everything will be all right. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, he said, he that I have in my hand can no man pluck out. Come on, preach that with me. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm in God's hand, and nobody can pluck me out. In other words, I ain't going nowhere. I'm here to stay. I'm going to hang on in there. Whatever come hell or high water, I'm not going to change because situations change. I'm not going to change because people change. I'm not going to change because they told a lie on me. I'm not going to change because they don't believe in me. But I'm going to have faith in God. Jesus said in Mark the 11th chapter, he said, have faith in God. He said, if you have faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you'll speak to the mountain and tell it to be moved and cast in the sea. I'm not telling God, don't move my mountain and give me the strength to climb. I'm telling my mountain, my God said, you got to move. I wish I had somebody that would believe with me. I wish I had somebody that understood the miracle of the master's hand. Whenever we look at the master's hand, I look at what he did with his hands. The hands are very powerful. It was with the hands you would get the blessing. When Jacob put his hands on Joseph's sons, he blessed them. When Isaac put his hands on Jacob and Esau, he blessed them. Do I have any witnesses here? God said the ministry of the hand has been around a long time. When Moses had the rod in his hand, God opened up the Red Sea. We have to see the ministry of the hand. When I talk about the hand, I'm talking about what God has ordained. I'm talking about the hand of the Lord. He said in the book of Isaiah, he said, my arm is not short that I cannot save, nor is my ear heavy that I cannot hear. He said, but it's your iniquity. But what God did with his hand is he removed the iniquity by letting his hand come against the one that he afflicted. I wish I had somebody here. You see, when we look at the hand, he said, I give you apostles. That's the thumb of the hand. I give you prophets. That's the pointing finger, the index finger. Because Nathan said, thou art the man. When we look at the middle finger, that's the evangelist of the hand. Because he says that the evangelist reaches, it's the longest finger on the hand. It reaches farther than anything. Then you have the ring finger. That's the ring finger on the hand. That means that's the pastor. That means that I'm married to the church. And I ain't going nowhere. Then you have the pinky finger that's on the hand. And that happened to be the teacher. Because that can get down in the ear like no other hand on the finger. And so when we look at the hand, God uses the hand. That's why he said, I give gifts unto men. He gave us the apostles. He gave us the prophets. He gave us the evangelist pastors and the teachers. He said, if I can just use my hand, that's why it says, if you submit to the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. Anybody submitting? Anybody humbling themselves? But when I think about the hand, I'm thinking about God's hand. In Genesis, it was his hand. He created everything with a word. But in Genesis, it was his hand that he saw the residue of the earth. Some people say he dug down in the earth, but that did not happen. He didn't take mud and make a Play-Doh man. The Bible says from the dust of the earth, all the residue, in other words, what's left over, God grabbed it in midair. And he made man. So what I'm trying to tell you is that you may be somebody's leftovers. Preach anyway. What I'm trying to tell you is that you may be blowing around in the wind. Don't know what direction you're going. But I've been caught by God. Paul said it like this. I'm trying to apprehend what is already apprehended me. I'm trying to catch hold of what's caught hold of me. And he caught the dust. And by the hand of the Lord, he made man. Come on and say amen. But God also did something. He created a seed. Come on and say hallelujah. He took angiosperm and he put it in the ground. And the seed bare fruit, and it sprouted up a blade. Then it came up to a bush. Then he made a tree. And from the tree, he took a man's hand, cut down the tree, and he made a cross. Do I have any witnesses? And he took a man's hand, and he made a whip of cat of nine tails. And he took that whip, and by a man's hand, he whipped Jesus. You see, there's a blessing, even in the hand, when things not looking right. I heard Elijah say, go look and see if you see a cloud. Then he came back and said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Do I have any witnesses? But when they whipped Jesus with a man's hand, they ripped off Jesus' skin in order to show the gift that was on the inside, because we needed the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. Do I have any witnesses? Put a nail in a man's hand and nail Jesus' hands. Do I have a witness? Took a rope in a man's hand and he wrapped Jesus up, hung him between heaven and earth. Do I have any witnesses? The Bible says that he hung there and he died. Come on and say yes. But he took a man's hand. When Jesus said foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, he caused a man to dig out a grave. Do I have a witness here? And make a stone to put in front of the grave. Took some grave clothes that was woven by a man's hand. Put him in the grave. But early, they say early Sunday morning, he rose up and he said, all power is in my hand. Do I have any witnesses? He said, the power that's in God's hand. You see, when you got your problems, and if they're in your hand, there's a weight in your hand. You see, you got to understand something. It depends on who hands it's in. Got an email a while back, and it ministered to me a little bit. It said that if you have a golf ball in your hands, not worth a whole lot. It's worth about 10 or 12 bucks. But if you take the golf ball, put it in Tiger Woods' hand, it's worth about 20 million. Do I have a witness? You take a basketball in my hand, worth less than what, 20 bucks? Maybe 2 bucks. But then you take that ball, put it in Michael Jordan's hand, then it becomes worth millions. Do I have any witnesses? Say yes. What I'm trying to get you to see, it depends on who hands it's in. If you take my trouble in my hands, you're talking about depression. If you take my sickness in my hand, you're talking about pain. But when you take all of that and you put it in God's hand, when you take a person who's been bound up, put them in God's hand, you end up delivered. When you take somebody who's been sick and you put them in God's hand, they end up healed. Do I have any witnesses? When you take somebody who's been depressed and you put them in God's hand, they leave with the joy of the Lord to be their strength. Do I have anybody that say, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was out there by myself, but now I'm in his hand. Say yes. Say yeah. We got to get to a place where we say, I'm not holding back, but I'm going to put it all in his hand. He said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Anybody believe that? You believe God care for you. But that word C-A-R-E, it means provides for you. He'll provide for you. Just like he provided for 5,000 men in a wilderness. Do I have any witnesses here? You see, they were out in the wilderness. So it doesn't matter where you are. God has provisions for you no matter where you are. And God will use a little boy to minister to you. God will use you, somebody who you think of yourself. I ain't nobody. I can't pray for them. I can't preach to them. Yes, you can. You can tell them that God is. What is God? He's a way maker. He's a rock in a weary land. He's your honey in the rock. He'll be bridge over troubled water. He'll be your all in all. He'll be your friend when you're friendless. Do I have a witness? You see, we need to be like the little story that goes that there was a little boy who had never been to church before. I'm going to tell this story again for the sake of those that didn't hear it before. There's a little boy who never been to church before. Somebody knocked on the door, passed him a track, and said, we want to invite you to come out to our church. When he got there and they came, he bought the church. The boy sat in the back and they preached a good message. The boy's heart was stirred. He heard about Jesus. By the way, that should be the message. Come on and say amen. The message should not be how you can get rich, but it ought to be that he came to give you life and that more abundantly. Do I have a witness here? But let me tell you what the little boy heard. He heard about Jesus, and then it was offering time. The deacons came forth. They had the baskets there. Everybody got up. They put money in the basket. The little boy searched his pockets. He said, I don't have anything that I can offer to this Jesus that done so much for me. But he went up to the deacons, pulled on his coattail. He said, come down a minute. Deacon leaned down to him. He said, what you want to do? He said, just lower the basket. He said, lower it here. He said, put it down a little lower. When he put the basket on the floor, the boy stepped in the basket. He said, I don't have anything to give, but all I got is me. I want to offer God. I want to offer Jesus. Little old me. Is there anybody here that say, I want to offer what I have? All I got is me. I don't have a whole lot of money. I don't have a whole lot of friends. Don't have a whole lot of education. But what I do have, I offer him me. Can I get somebody? They say, I may not look like much, but when I'm in the master's hand, he say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I may not look like much, but I'm the apple of his eye. Come on, tell somebody what you're looking at is the loved one of God. Praise his name. Glorify God. Come on, somebody here need to realize that God loves you. And since God loves you, you need to say, I'm the one that Jesus died for. I'm the one that he rose for. I'm the one that he's coming back for. Now slap high five and tell somebody, say, you're the one. Say yeah, the miracle in the master's hand. If I can get myself in the hand of the Lord, there's a miracle coming out of this. You may be in a place that you don't want to be in right now, but I dare you to scoot over. Get yourself in position. Oh, come on and say amen here. If I can just get myself in a position. If you're going through something right now, you're in a position where you can be blessed, where God can work a miracle. Listen, God does not have to move because you have a need, but God moves because you got trust and faith in him that you need. God said you could do it. Oh, just because you got to, you know, I got to do it. Oh, just because there'll always be poor with us. Poor in spirit, poor in riches. There'll always be somebody with need. There'll always be a deficiency in life. But he said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect where you are weak. We need to trust in the hand of the Lord. It's God's hand that we trust in. His hand will feed us, but the same hand that feeds us will chasten us, spank us, whip us to get us back in line. Oh, hallelujah. The miracle of the master's hand. Where are you? Are you in his hand? Where are your troubles? Are they on your back? Or have you put them in his hand? It's some people you just need to put in the hand of the Lord. You need to just let, I'm going to put them in the hand of the Lord. Whatever happens, it happens. I'm letting God have his way. We need to know that God has a plan. And when God works his plan, it makes everybody happy. It works out for your good. You may have trials and tribulation, unexpected situations. All that stuff may come in your life, but you need to know that whatever the devil means for bad, God turns it around for your good. You need to know that. All I wanted to do today is encourage somebody. Encourage somebody to know that God wants to use you. And he wants to use you just like you are. Because look, we think, oh, I gotta get myself together. You can never get yourself together. If you could, you would have done it a long time ago. And Jesus wouldn't have had to do what he did if we could get it together. But what we really need to come to the sobering thought of is that I'm a work in progress. And while he's working on me, you can still use me. Highways, sometimes when they tap that highway, it's a work in progress. But that don't mean you can't use the highway. They just tell you, slow down. They tell you, go this way. Get you off on the shoulder. Get back on. So you can still be used. Even though you toe up, as they say, from the floor. God can still use you. And the good thing about that is that if he's using you, he's going to repair you. He's going to bless you. He's going to heal you. Because while you're dealing with what you're dealing with, he's already got a plan in order. He's tweaking some things in your life. He's moving people. Why are you crying about that? Because they left you. I don't know who this is for, but somebody just needs to tell anybody around you, say, why are you crying? Because they left. You need to thank them. You need to thank them that they're gone. Because while they were there, God couldn't use you. Because they are the hindrance. Saranara. See you later, alligator. They said, you ain't nothing. You can't make it without me. Oh, yes, you can. You can't make it without God. They may say, you're no good. They may talk about you. So what? Who wants to eat sardines? But look at what Jesus did with them. And they got full. So I can't eat no more. God is trying to position you to where your life is filled with what he wants. Where your life is filled with what he wants. Not what you want. We want a whole lot of stuff, but I found out that what God wants for me is far greater than what I want for me. Far greater. Paul said that whatever state I'm in, I'm content. Paul didn't say I'm complacent. He said I'm content. In other words, I'm satisfied with what God is doing. If I'm hungry or full, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. I'm not complacent, but I'm content. I'm good to go. You see, sometimes we can be content. Let me just share a little bit of my testimony. I was content doing what I was doing. I work, you know, because I would love to just do ministry and whatever, but I work because God gave me a challenge to make sure that I take care, a charge to make sure I take care of my family. That's why I work, right? So I was content doing what I'm doing, but then I got a phone call one day and man said, hey, I just want to talk to you. There's a job coming open, a position that we're restructuring, and we think you'll be the best man for the job. I said, okay. He said, you interested? Told me what it was, and I said, well, I said, depends on if there's any extra money involved. And he said, believe me, you'll be compensated. He said, because you've been doing a really good job and you really haven't been given what you need to get. And I said that I was going to make sure that you get compensated because you've been the best. I said, okay, let me know. So some time went by, I didn't hear nothing. Then all of a sudden, say, hey, here's the job and we're going to move you to a corporate level and we're going to give you this much money. And you're going to be eligible for this much incentive. And I said, whew. I said, wow. I can get close to six figures. That'd be nice. Well, you know, that's what I was saying. And then he said, well, in 6 months or 9 months, we'll reevaluate and we'll give you another raise before I even do the job. I said, I can't beat that. But I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't looking. I was content. Wasn't complacent. I was content. And God calls this to find me. He put me on somebody else's mind. Now, all I can think of is that God wants to broaden some things. And I start thinking about all the stuff that I did. I start thinking about, man, you know, I usually tithe more than I'm supposed to because I want to tithe where I want to be. And I give and I sow seeds and I put seeds here and I do that. And I start thinking about all the stuff I did and how God turned around and blessed me because of what I. And then I said, no, that ain't why. It's not because of what I did. It's because of who God is in my life. It's because of who he is in my life. When you make him number one, He'll make you number one. You'll be the first one to get blessed. They called me first. They didn't call the others. You'll be the first one. And you know, I was saying this morning with just to help somebody, to bless somebody. You know, when God has a plan and you're on the path, don't panic because of what you may see or maybe what you don't hear. It's just like a GPS. If you're trying to find somewhere, you pop it in your phone or in your car, and you start driving. And after a while, if you're going about 38 miles down the road and you ain't got no turns, you don't hear nothing. That doesn't mean that you're lost. It doesn't mean that you're on the wrong path. It means that you just keep going. But a lot of times we get scared and we say, well, I ain't heard nothing from God. God has said, I don't have to talk when you're doing it. You're on target. You're on path. But when you get to a place where you need to go, exit, he warns you a couple of miles ahead, 2 miles, you need to exit 238. He warns you and tells you that's what you need to do.